If you turn with me back to the book of Acts, please, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we see in verse number 4, let's read verse number 4, and then we'll just pray. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 4, "And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to prick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Right, let's pray. Father, we pray that you would settle our minds and our hearts now, that we would be focused upon you and your word. And I pray that you'd minister to our hearts this morning once again. And we thank you and praise you for all that you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, here we see a wonderful miracle take place. It was the conversion of a man by the name of Saul, who became the great Apostle Paul. And it was when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, he realized that it was Christ the Lord, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And what we see was Saul, he was a great persecutor of the church. And this was the point where Paul was converted, where he met the Christ. Let me ask you, have you met the Christ? Have you come to a point where you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? You know, it's interesting that Paul was a great persecutor. Saul was a great persecutor of the church. He would put them in prison, Christians in prison, and he would even murder some, call for the murder of others. And what we see is that this one man who God touched his heart, he came to a point of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you, it doesn't matter where you have come from and what your background is. What matters is what you do with Jesus Christ and if you allow him to forgive you of your sins. If you receive the gift of salvation. And what's interesting is that Jesus Christ appeared to Saul, and he says to Paul understood who it was, and he surrendered, and he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And God, Christ, gave him a command, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." We see a time where Paul had placed his faith in Christ. And from this point on, we can see the scriptures documents specifically what God did in Paul's life, in Saul's life. In verse number 7, we'll read, and this is just the foundation of the message at this point. "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." You know, we see a man who persecuted the church, a lost man, a person who did not want Christ, rejected the Messiah, one who was a religious person. He was very religious, as Saul was. And he was thinking that he was doing a good thing. But the good thing that he was doing was totally against what God wanted for his life. And as he came to that point of salvation, of faith in Jesus Christ, the scriptures documents very clearly his journey and the people that God allowed within his life and who would actually accompany him and who would be a blessing to him throughout the way. And what I want to look at today is, what kind of servant are you? What kind of servant are you? You know, there are many servants that God raised up in Paul's life that would help him on his journey. And we need to understand that there, as people are saved, the scriptures teach that we as God's people are supposed to go out there and preach the gospel, and not only preach the gospel, but lead people to Jesus Christ, and not only that, but teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. There is a whole thing, command that God has given us, not only to lead people to Christ, but to ground them in God's word. And what we see is that there were people that in Paul's life, which God raised up, that would help him, that would be a blessing to him along the way. And we see this in verse number 10. First person we want to see is an obedient servant by the name of Ananias. An obedient servant. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias as coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. In verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. You know, God, Christ appeared to Ananias in a vision and he says, you know what? Go. Go and inquire of one by the name of Saul. And Ananias, no doubt, was a bit worried, a bit disturbed, because he had heard the reports of this one man called Saul who had the power to put these Christians into prison, and he was persecuting Christians. He was fearful. But what we see is as Ananias expresses how he felt towards the Lord said, go, and what we see is in Ananias' response. In verse number 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. You know what's interesting here is we see Ananias as an obedient servant. You know what we look at within the church, we see that we would like to have Pauls within the church. You know, we'd like to have people who were on fire for God, who would go and go forth from our church and plant churches. But you know what we need in our day? As we need the Pauls, the Sauls in our day, but we also need the Ananiases, who would just hear the voice of the Lord and say, Lord, if you want me to minister to so-and-so, then so be it. You know, as Pastor Charlie was saying, you know, the people need the Lord. And in such a day as today, as we're living in, people are hurt and they're bound, they're caught up in their sin. And sometimes we look at them and we say, oh, you know what, I don't want to even minister to those people. But you know what, Christ, we hate the sin. Yes, we hate the lifestyle that they're going in, but Christ sees them as a soul, and we as God's people have the responsibility to be Ananiases and go. And although sometimes we hear of bad reports and these person persecuting the church and the sin that they're involved in and all the rest of it, if God leads us to them and they're saved, we need Ananiases of old to go to them. You know, brethren, here we see Ananias as an obedient servant to his God who was willing just to go and do what God told him to do. And what we see here is in verse number 17, if you look there with me again, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And look what he did. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight. You know what's interesting? He comes to him and he puts his hand on the one who's a murderer, the one who is persecuting his brethren, the church of God, and he says, he calls him a brother. And he says, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The one, Jesus, that appeared to you on the way has told me to do this. You know what it is? If I always ask the question, what happens if Ananias didn't take heed to the word of God? If Ananias didn't do what God told him to do? You know what's interesting is this one time that in the scriptures, this Ananias is mentioned and we don't hear of him ever again. And you think about that, just that one special task that Christ had for his servant, and his servant was just an obedient man who just went. You know, we hear of Ananias, a testimony there in Acts chapter 22. Look with me there, please. As Paul, Obviously, as he ministered there in Damascus with the disciples, he got to know this man. And in Acts chapter 22, verse number 12, we see that he gives a testimony. Paul gives a testimony of his salvation, how Christ met him on the way, and how he in verse number 10, we'll take up the reading, sorry there. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Rise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." In Acts chapter 22, verse number 11. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And look at verse number 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." You know, here he gives him a testimony of a man who's a devout man, who had a good reputation, a good rapport of all the Jews, and he just shares what Ananias did. And let me ask you, brethren, could you be an Ananias to somebody within this church? You know, what we need to do as God's people, we need to not try to take the spotlight, so to speak, but we just need to just be humble and just understand that we're a servant to God, we serve the Lord, and if I'm serving a dear brother in Christ, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And what we see here is that this man was just an obedient servant. God gave him a command and he did it. What is God telling you to do, brethren? You know, especially when it comes to ministering to people, especially when we come to people who have been saved and they're just the baby Christians, new Christians, they need Ananias to come alongside them, despite their background, despite what's happened in the past, one who would just be obedient to the call of God and say, "I'm a servant of the Lord and I'm here to minister as unto you." And you know what? We need Ananias within our church. Look with me there in Acts chapter 9, back there, please. Acts chapter 9. You know, God not only prepares people to hear his word, he also prepares his servants to go and minister to people. We are his servants and we need to be obedient in this regard. You know, just where is the need within the church? Who has just received the Lord? Who just needs that me just to come alongside them and be a blessing? Just be obedient servants to the Lord. But look at this next person who impacted the life of Paul. In verse number, Acts chapter 9, in verse number 19, we see, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened." This is Saul. "Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this he that destroys them which called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?' But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." You know what's interesting is that we see the growth in Paul's life. As Ananias appeared to Saul, what we see is that it was a blessing to him, and he started to minister in Damascus, and apparently he was there for a period of 3 years. And then he goes up to Jerusalem, and we're going to see the next person that God raised up to minister to the great Apostle Paul, Barnabas. Here we see the encouraging servant. Barnabas, the encouraging servant. In there in Acts chapter 9, verse 23. "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But they lay in await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." In verse 26, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple," which is fair enough. You know, he went to from persecuting the church to going to Damascus, and it's been a period of time, and this same Paul, Saul, which was persecuting the church, has come to Jerusalem. So they thought, you know what, he's pretending to be a Christian, and he's pretending to be like us, and he's come to spy out where we are and what we're doing so that he can put us into prison. And fair enough, they had that doubt. But look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. We see this man Barnabas, who was a great encourager of the church, the encouraging servant, who was one who would always put himself out for others. You know, we see the tension in the future ministry of Paul and Barnabas, the tension that took place between Paul and Barnabas, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark. But Paul didn't want to take Mark, and there was great contention between them that they parted ways. And we see this consistency in Barnabas' life, that he was willing to put himself out for others. In Acts chapter number 4, verse number 32, the first time we hear of Barnabas, in verse number 32, and the multitudes of them in Acts chapter 4 that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In verse number, we'll just continue to read. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This is when the gospel was spread, people received the word of God, and as they were led of God, they sold their possessions, and people just gave. And in verse number 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You know, there was a great love within the church, and they saw the need, and this is how the Spirit of God led them at that time, and this is what they did. And look at who we see in verse number 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. This word consolation means comfort. It's the same name that's given the word, same root word that's used for the Holy Spirit, the comforter. So he was a comfort to the brethren there, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What we see is this great encourager, one who was in the church, who would be a blessing to those ones around him. You know what? Barnabas was others-focused. He wasn't concerned about himself. And he was a blessing to the church and to the people of God. And what we see is within the church, we as God's people can either be a blessing or we can be a curse to one another. We could either be one who is an encourager or one who discourages. And what are you to a fellow believer within the church? You know, are you an Ananias who's just an obedient servant who, as God leads them, just goes and be a blessing or an encouragement to that one person? Or are you a Barnabas who would just come alongside and stand up for others and say, you know what, let's give this guy an opportunity, let's give him a chance? Amen. You know what, we live in a day where Christianity shuns people and they just say, you know what, we don't want to give him a chance because look how bad they are. Look what they've done. They've made a mess of their lives. Well, haven't you made a mess of your life? It's only by the grace of God that you stand where you stand. You know what's interesting? We as God's people, sometimes we become so self-righteous and we think we're too good for others. But we need Barnabases which will just say, you know what? I'm going to be a blessing and an encouragement to this person. Although they've made a mess of their life, I'm going to come alongside of them and say, brother, the Lord loves you. Let's go on for the Lord. Be an encouragement. Amen. You know, people need encouragement today. And it's not about positive speaking. We're not here to pump each other up and say this. But no, in the Lord, we're going to encourage. We're going to rebuke. We're going to strengthen one another. Do you know why? Because we as God's people in such a day as today need that encouragement. You know, as the world is just going just crazy. And praise be to God that Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
You know, we found, my wife and I, we just found so much encouragement in that. You know, as that bill was passed, we say, you know, signs of the time, praise God. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
And this is the truth, the moment of the hour. And we as God's people need to be a blessing and an encouragement. And let me encourage you, church family, just be a blessing one to another and encouragement. You know, people who are just down and out just need sometimes just to even talk. Just be a blessing. You know, Barnabas was one who was willing to put himself out. You know, I just think of that time when there was that great dispute between them. We'll just look at it for just a brief moment. In Acts chapter 15, verse number 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So there was a parting when John Mark was, they were on their way, on their journey, and he left the work. And Paul says, no, not a good idea. And look what Barnabas says in verse number 34. It's, look at this. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And what we see is this, that there was a parting between Barnabas and Saul. And Paul. And what we see is because of this one man, John Mark. There in Acts chapter 13, we'll get the context. Acts chapter 13, verse 13, it says this, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. And look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What we see is that there was a parting. And Barnabas says, no, I want to take John Mark with us. And then Paul says, not a good idea. They part ways. There's great contention between them. But what we see is this character, this consistency in Barnabas's life, which he steps out for others. He probably saw that, you know, Mark was just discouraged at that time and he left, but he was willing just to put it out on the line. And what we see is that at the end of his ministry, when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, look at the testimony of Paul regarding John Mark. In verse number 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, this is Paul who says, no, we're not going to take Mark, John Mark, because he left. But Barnabas just stood up, and you know what he did? He came alongside and he encouraged John Mark. He encouraged Mark. And what we see is that Barnabas did the same thing for Paul. After he was converted, did he not come alongside Paul and he brought him to the Jerusalem church and he said, look, he's one of us. And you know what's interesting is that I wonder if Paul could have testified of Mark as being profitable of his ministry if Barnabas didn't step out for him. And brethren, my point is that we as God's people need to come alongside people. Fellow brethren, and although maybe they're not so sharp around the edges and they're not saying the right things, who cares? We're not here to fit people into our mold. We're here to fit people into the mold of the Word of God, into the mold of Christ. And you know, everybody is at a different stage. And we need to understand that. And where are the Barnabases that are going to just take somebody and say, I know that you're doing it tough. I'm going to be a blessing and encouragement. I want to just become support to you. If you need me, I'm there for you. But let's go forward for Christ. And brethren, this is what we need in such a day as today.
Amen.
In a church where when we're going to go win people to Christ, who are we winning? Who are we leading to Christ? We're leading sinners. People have just been polluted with the world, and they're going to come with baggage. And we as the people of God just need to have some compassion on them. You know, as Christ had looked at the multitudes and had compassion upon them, we as God's people, I'm not saying compromise, but have compassion on them. Amen. And take them from where they are at to where they need to go with the Lord. Amen. Where are the Barnabases? In Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, please. So we see Ananias as the obedient servant. We see Barnabas as the encouraging servant. But we also see this couple, which was a huge blessing to Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, in Acts chapter 18. And these things, Paul, in verse number 1, in Acts chapter 18, and these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So we see that as he entered into this church at Corinth, there was a couple by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. These were the helpful servants, the ones that would be willing just to minister with Paul. And we see then that they were just a blessing to Paul in his ministry. And we see them traveling also. If you trace their life, they traveled with Paul. There in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and they took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." So Priscilla and Aquila traveled with him. They were the helpers of Paul. In Romans chapter 16, please. Romans chapter 16. They were the same craft, the same trade. They were tent makers. And we see that Paul abode with them. He lived with them, but he also worked with them. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 3. Look at Paul when he says in verse number 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." My helpers in Christ Jesus. And this is my fellow workers, the ones who aid in the work. And what we see in the Apostle Paul, that in his journey, in his ministry, he wasn't alone. And we see from when he was converted that there were people who impacted his life specifically, like Ananias and Barnabas. But as he grew and as he ministered, we saw these workers, these fellow laborers with him as Priscilla and Aquila. And let me ask you, are you a help to the work? Are you the help to the work? You know what it is. As a church, we're a body, and when the body functions together, it functions well. And each part has a special part to play in the body. And each one of you have a special part to play. And are you helping the work of the Lord to go forward, or are you a hindrance to it? You need to ask yourself that question. And we here see the example of Priscilla and Aquila, who were helpers to the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16... 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 19, it says, "The churches of Asia salute you," in 1 Corinthians 16, "Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." You know what? These ones were just a help to the great Apostle Paul. They were willing to open up their home to have a church there. They were willing to go and travel with him. They were willing for Paul to come and work with them, for him to live with them. It's such an interesting thing that when you read the book of Acts, the great fellowship that they had one with another. It was so close, and they were a blessing to one another. And what we see is that this great couple was such a blessing to Paul. And as poor, and they aided him with their work, they helped him, and they opened their home up. And I just want to ask you the question, brethren, are you a help to the work? You know, we as God's people, we need Christians within the church family, which are like Ananias, who are obedient servants, just doing the little things. You know, just in the background, just going, just doing their thing, not being noticed, and it actually counts. It's a big thing. You think about Ananias, you know, it was just a little thing that he did. Just went and did one thing. He's mentioned once in the scriptures, and Paul mentions him, and that's it. We don't see him again. But what a blessing he was to Paul. And look at the Barnabas, steps out and becomes encouragement to this man and says, okay, you know, I'm gonna go with you to Jerusalem. I'm gonna just introduce you to the church. Just step out there for you and be there for you. And same thing that Barnabas did with Mark. And what we see here with Priscilla and Aquila, they were just a helpful couple that would be a blessing to the man of God who would just help him on his way. And you know what these people were? They were all servants. And what they were doing, they weren't serving anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I see in these people, the quality that they just understood that they're servants of the Lord, doing what God wants them to do, whether big or small, they wanted to aid him in the work. You know what's interesting is that we always talk about Paul and how great things he did for the Lord, and he did, and he planted many churches and the gospel spread. God used him as a vessel, but you know what? Paul didn't do it alone. There was always someone with him. There was always somebody that God raised up along the way that would be a help and a blessing to him. And brethren, let me just encourage you this morning, be like Ananias, be like Barnabas, be like Priscilla and Aquila. As God leads you, as you serve the Lord, as he opens opportunities, don't miss out on being a blessing to others. And when Paul writes and he looks back at Priscilla and Aquila, he just with great joy, he speaks of them. They were a great blessing to his heart. And let me encourage you, let's be a blessing one to another. Let us encourage one another in the work. Let us not be ones who will just put each other down and be a discouragement. You know what? I praise God for churches that support us. You know, the churches that we can come and fellowship with, and people we are like-minded with, and just brethren who just an encouragement in the Lord, knowing that people are praying for us. You know, it is just a wonderful blessing that we can fellowship with like-minded Christians. And this is what Paul understood. Paul says, you know what? Barnabas, he could fellowship with, he could be a blessing with. He was a blessing to him. Ananias was also. But Priscilla and Aquila were just a great help to the work of Christ. And for us to see the work of Christ go on, we need to be these kind of people, this kind of servant. You know, what's interesting, the work of God isn't accomplished by just one man alone, if you look at it. In history, you just see there's always one man that stands out, the biographies have spoken about, but think about the people that were around him, the people that helped him in the work. But not only helped him, but think about the people that were praying. Not people that were just there, but people that, even if they couldn't be there, the prayers that were made continually. And if you look at the book of Acts, they were a praying church. They would continue to pray, and that's why the work went on. And so what we see is that these servants of the Lord were people who were willing to aid in the work, helpers in the work. They were ones who would encourage the people of God, ones who would just be obedient to Christ and just go and do the little things. And we see all of this in the life of these servants of the Lord. And the question is, brethren, what kind of ministry would Paul have without these people? God, yes, Paul chose, God chose Paul to go and do the work. But if Paul, along the way, God didn't raise up these servants that would be a help to the work, what kind of ministry would Paul have? And you look at it, as you read the book of Acts next time, just look at how many people. It's just not Paul alone. As you chase the journey, God raises up all of these helpers, all of these servants that would go and be a blessing. And you just think about just today in this church, in your church. I want to encourage you, brethren, be Ananias. Be a Barnabas, be a Priscilla and Aquila. Say, Lord, how can I just be a blessing, an encouragement, and help to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's pray.